see everyone out tonight. I imagine that every single one of us in here, there is someone who has impacted us. And maybe we're just naturally drawn to them. We see them and we know what they've done and we're like, yeah, I want to be like them. Or yeah, I want to ask them about how to do this. Or man, let me give them something. And so maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's an older sibling. Maybe it's a coach. Maybe it's a teacher. Maybe it's a boss. Whatever it is, maybe it's a neighbor down the street. There is somebody that we are probably drawn to that we want to be around. Right? We all got that. Well, I was thinking about that as I was studying the Old Testament, that there are three kings in Judah that everybody wanted to be around. That they came and they saw how great that king was and the impact in which they had on their people and the people that surrounded them. I want to show you those three people tonight. The first one is Hezekiah, which we just read about. And it's really our first trash talking of the Bible. When Sennacherib sends his men to the walls and they are talking, we're going to whip you and your God can't do anything, Hezekiah and Isaiah prayed. And you, as was just read for us, the Lord answered the prayer, sent his angel and killed 185,000 people that night. And then the king himself was killed just a little later. And here's what is said after that statement. And I've got it on the board here that we just read. So the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and from the hand of Sennacherib, from the hand of the enemies, and he provided for them on every side. Meaning there was no war for Hezekiah all around him. And many brought gifts to the Lord, to Jerusalem, and precious things to Hezekiah, king of Judah, so that he was exalted in the sight of all nations from that time onward. Every other king recognized, don't mess with Hezekiah. And we better keep Hezekiah happy. Why? Because the Lord had saved him from his enemies. Well, there was another king, a little before him, by the name of Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat, you remember, he was also a good king. And all these things were working out great for him. And I want you to know what was said about him. If you go back to chapter 29, or not 29, but earlier in Chronicles, he sends people all throughout Israel, all throughout Judah, and they're teaching the word of the Lord. They're telling the people to turn to God. And you would see that the people responded in chapter 17 of 2 Chronicles. And it says, and the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were around Judah. And they made no war against Jehoshaphat. The people around were impacted. They now understood who the Lord was. And therefore, guess what they didn't do? Go to war with Jehoshaphat. Later on in Jehoshaphat, a similar thing is said in chapter 20. After he wins a big battle, the fear of God came on all the kingdoms of the countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And so the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet. Why? For his God gave him rest all around. Everyone is scared because God is doing this. And the one that you probably remember the most of the kings that impacted others, that they came to him and they brought gifts to him as King Solomon. And they came to him and notice how it says it in chapter 9 and verse 22. Thus King Solomon excelled all the kings of the earth in riches and in wisdom. And here it is. And all the kings of the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom. And here it is. which God had put in his mind. Every one of them brought his presents. Articles of silver and gold and clothing and all those other things listed on there. So much year by year. People heard about these three kings and they came to them. And why did they do that? Because God had given each of them something special. Wisdom, riches, protection, etc. So much that the nations around, they recognized that there was something different about them. They recognized that they didn't want to mess with them. And so we might say, as kings, they had it easy. And what, you know what comes with having things easy? You eventually have to struggle. Difficulties eventually come. And these three kings, they had it easy for a little while. But what we notice is that these kings, they had problems. And they had different problems. And what we're going to see tonight is that you can have a lot of success. And you can have people who are coming to you all over the place. But you're going to have something that you are going to have to battle with that is going to maybe keep you from being what you need to be. And we'll see that with these three kings tonight. So we're going to talk about their problems. They each have one major problem, even though at one point they all would have been called good kings. Does that make sense? Let's start with Hezekiah. Let's start at the end. Hezekiah, we just saw that he just won this battle. But if we had to sum up Hezekiah's reign kind of in one word, we would sum it up the way that it says in chapter 31 of 2 Chronicles, he prospered. Things were working well for him. Go there to 2 Chronicles chapter 31. And notice verse 20 and 21 of all of these things. 31 verse 20 and 21. Thus Hezekiah did throughout all Judah, and he did what was good and right and faithful before the Lord his God. Good man. And verse 21. And every work that he undertook in the service of the house of God and in accordance with the law and the commandment seeking his God, he did with all his heart and prospered. So what you have in 2 Chronicles from chapter 29 to 31, you have Hezekiah restoring proper worship to God. They're cleaning out the temple. They're getting the priest in order. They celebrate the Passover for the first time. And they did that because Hezekiah was seeking God with all his heart. And God caused him to prosper in that. But Hezekiah also did some physical things as well. Look in chapter 31 or chapter 32 of what he did. In chapter 32, you would see that he was very rich in verse 27. And the reason he was very rich is because God had given him these great possessions. So notice verse 27. Hezekiah had very great riches and honor, and he made for himself treasuries for silver, for gold, for precious stones, for spices, for shields, for all kind of costly vessels, storehouses also yield of grain, wine, and oil, and stalls for all kinds of cattle and sheepfold. This dude has building upon building of valuable things stored up. Because verse 29, God had given him very great possessions, but he was sharing that in verse 29. He gave that away. But Hezekiah is known in modern day world, in archaeology, for building this tunnel, a place for the water to run underneath the water. And so you'd see that in verse 30. This same Hezekiah closed the upper outlet of the waters of Gihon and directed them down to the west side of the city of David. And Hezekiah prospered in all his works. Ever? Know somebody that everything they put their hand to, we say, turned to gold? They might have taken a crummy business. And as soon as they bought it and took ownership of it, the thing just flourished. It just went off. That's your Hezekiah. Is that everything that he put his hand to, it went exactly as he had intended and planned. And that gets us to that story that we just had read for us, where Assyria is yelling, and Assyria is threatening against his God, and he has Isaiah pray for them, and the Lord delivers him. And you'll notice back now in verse 23, that they brought many gifts to the Lord in Jerusalem, and he was exalted in all the sight, in the sight of all the nations from that time onward. Everyone is aware of it. And then the rest of the story happens. In those days, the text tells us, verse 24, in those days, when he had just had the great victory and everything he had ever touched had prospered, in those days Hezekiah became sick and was at the point of death. And if we read the version in 2 Kings, we would find that Isaiah is sent to him and he says to him, get your house in order because you're going to die. And it's interesting to see how the king writer records that for us. It says that he turned to the wall and he prayed to God. He didn't even address Isaiah. He didn't do anything like that. When he heard the word, he turned to his God. And as our text tells us here in 2 Chronicles, he prayed to the Lord. Immediately. And guess what happens? If you go to 2 Kings chapter 20, and I want you to do that because I want you to see how quickly the Lord answers this prayer. Isaiah leaves. Isaiah is walking out from him. And you would see in verse 4, before Isaiah had gone out of the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him. Turn back and say to Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord God of David, your father, I've heard your prayer. I've seen your tears. Behold, I will heal you. And on the third day, you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add 15 years to your life. God heard his prayer. Another thing in which he prospered. The dude should have been dead. And God gave him 15 more years. That is half my life right now. Let's think about that for a second. That is additional life. What would you do with an additional 15 years? Travel the world? Get another degree? Spend more time with your grandkids? Well, you know what he did? He showed off all his stuff. Because if you go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 32, and you might hold your finger in 2 Kings 20 if you so desire, God answered in verse 24 and verse 25, but here's his struggle. But Hezekiah did not make return according to the benefit done to him, for his heart was proud. What was his problem? His problem was pride. And notice how the text says that. He did not make return on the benefit. What does that mean God had done with him? We use a phrase ROI or return on investment. God had invested 15 more years in this good king. And what did Hezekiah do with those extra 15 years? He did not make the return on it. He didn't use those 15 years. And so therefore, God tested him. I want you to go down to verse 31. So there are some guys who come from Babylon. And Babylon at that time is a nation that's not really on the radar as a world power. And they come to him, and there's more documentation of this in chapter 20. But he goes through, and all these people come down from Babylon, all these important people. And he shows them every single thing that he has in his house, in his storehouses, all that great treasure and riches that he had built up, he shows off. And it turns out why they even came in the first place. Verse 31 here of 2 Chronicles 32.
So in the matter of the envoys of the princes of Babylon, who had been sent to him to inquire about the sign that had been done in the land, God left him to himself. Why? In order to test him to know what was all in his heart. What did God find in that test? He found that he was a proud man. And so Hezekiah is told, guess what? They're going to take all your stuff. And they will even take your sons. You know how Hezekiah responds? Oh, but at least there's going to be peace in my day. He didn't care about anybody but himself. Anybody else out there struggling about that besides me? Where you actually have accomplished a lot, so to speak. And you're doing all these great things. And we forget how we do it. And we show everybody, oh, look what I've got. Oh, look at my new setup. And all this stuff, right? And God says, yeah, that's just what I figured was going to happen. I was hoping that wasn't going to be in there. But do you see that God has made any kind of investment upon you? Do we look at it that way? That God has, maybe I lived my life like trash when I was in college as a young adult or a teenager. And I now have a, quote, new lease on life. You think Hezekiah was pretty appreciative those first few days after he had been given 15 years? But you know what happens when we hear we got 15 more years? I got 15 more years. I got time. I'm thankful to be alive today, but man, I got 15 more years to do whatever I want. And we immediately forget about the one who gave that to us. Not everyone falls into that. But I bet there's some people that do. I being one of those. Don't let your pride get in the way. Second point. Jehoshaphat. He's got a different struggle. Jehoshaphat, again, another great king. If we were to sum up his kingdom and his reign, I would sum it up in this way. The Lord was with him. Look at chapter 17 of 2 Chronicles about how it says this over and over. The Lord was with him. The Lord helped him. Verse 3, the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the earlier ways of his father David. Because he didn't seek the Baals, the gods. But he sought the God of his fathers and walked in the commandments and not according to the practices of Israel. He was right. He worshipped correctly. So verse 5, therefore, what did God do for him? The Lord established the kingdom in his hand. And all Judah brought tribute to Jehoshaphat. And he had great riches and honor. And his heart was courageous in the ways of the Lord. And furthermore, he took the high places in the Asherah out of Judah. Again, we've got another guy who was successful. And we've got another guy who had courage to do what was right. And he's going about doing it. And the Lord was with him in all of this. And the Lord was with him in some other things. But you know, the problem with Jehoshaphat in chapter 18, in verse 1, Jehoshaphat had great riches and honor. And he made a marriage alliance with Ahab. Now, those of us who are in the audience probably know who Ahab is. But if you don't, Ahab at the time was the most wicked king out there. He was killing prophets. He was offering children, apparently. They were doing all kind of abominable things. And old Jehoshaphat, who had set his heart after God, and God had established his kingdom, meaning they weren't messing with him and no one was going to take the throne from him, he enters into this marriage alliance with Ahab. And so Ahab comes to him, and in verse 3, he induced him. And what's it mean when you're induced? You're urged. you're big, and you are, in one sense, convinced to go against Ramoth Gilead to help King Ahab fight. And you'll remember that Jehoshaphat wants to hear from the prophets. Should we go? Should we not go? And Micaiah eventually comes, because the prophet comes and says, Ahab, you go. But Jehoshaphat, it just didn't seem right to him. He says, there's not any other prophet. And so, well, there's this other guy, Micaiah. But I hate what he says, Ahab says, because he never prophesies anything good about me. Jehoshaphat says, call him. So he comes in. And remember what Micaiah says? Go up! The Lord has given into your hand. And Jehoshaphat, Ahab says, you're lying to me. Tell me the truth. And he tells him what's going to happen. You're going to go into battle and you're going to die. But guess what they did anyway? They went into battle. And Jehoshaphat goes, and here was their plan to keep that from happening, right? Ahab doesn't look like the king. Jehoshaphat dresses up so that he looks like Ahab. Because the command had been given, you go after nobody but the king of Israel, who was Ahab. So Jehoshaphat was dumb enough to dress up like Ahab. So he goes out there and he's in his chariot, and guess what they do? They see the king. And all the people come after him. So verse 18, verse 31, it's the king of Israel. So they turn to fight against him. And Jehoshaphat cried out, and here it is, and the Lord helped him. And they all went away. So guess what? Ahab is killed by a random arrow, because that's what was going to happen. Jehoshaphat comes back, and I wonder what he's thinking. Why did I do that? Well, Jehoshaphat comes back in chapter 19, and notice how the text says it in verse 1. Jehoshaphat returned in safety. God had protected him because he had cried out to him, and he comes back in safety. And this is what the prophet says to him. Should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? So because of this, the wrath has gone out against you from the Lord. What was his problem? His problem was helping. He helped the wrong people. He helped the people that hated the Lord. He wasn't out there helping the people who loved the Lord. He was out there helping the people who hated the Lord. And the prophet says, why are you doing that? What are you thinking? But there is some good in you, verse 3. There is some good that I found in you. Because you got rid of the Baals yourself. You're not worshiping them. But yet you're helping all these people who do, like it's no big deal. So notice at this point that Jehoshaphat turned among the people and he told them to turn to the Lord. Jehoshaphat learned his lesson, right? Nope. Ahab dies. Ahaziah reigns. And guess what happens at the end of Jehoshaphat's reign? After all the great things have been said about Jehoshaphat, how he was a good king and all of this, this is the last word on Jehoshaphat, chapter 20 and verse 35. He joined with Ahaziah, king of Israel, who acted wickedly. He gets right back in the association again with Ahaziah, with someone who was wicked, even after being warned by the prophet, don't do this. He gets right back in it years later, and he joined, and they just built some ships together. It's not even that big of a deal. They were just going into business together. But verse 37, another prophet is sent to him. Because you join with Ahaziah, the Lord will destroy what you have made. And the ships were wrecked and were not able to go to Tarshish. You ever found any situation like that in your life? Where you're just helping the wrong people. You say, yeah, but I'm helping them come to Christ. And I'm trying to associate with them so that they'll come to Christ. But maybe what I'm actually doing is I'm actually helping them stay in their situation. Is that I use the guys, or I use the idea of, oh, they need a good influence in their life. We were talking about that this morning in class downstairs. Of, oh, they need a good influence in their life. Yeah, absolutely. But sometimes my good influence and my being around them and getting into association with them gives them the confidence that it's not a big deal, that it doesn't matter. And so instead of helping those who love the Lord, I'm more interested in helping those who hate the Lord. And that was his problem. That was his downfall twice. And guess who could deliver him out of that? The Lord could deliver him out of all of that. But these associations, they can bring us down. And they will. Don't be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. We got a guy who is doing all this great stuff. There's his problem. Or we've got Solomon. And we probably all know Solomon's struggle. But we have to sum up how his reign would be classified. And we read it a moment ago, but in chapter 9 of 2 Chronicles, we would note that he would be mentioned as he excelled all kings in riches and in honor and wisdom. Riches and wisdom. Anybody want to be the richest and the wisest person in the world? That would be awesome. That's Solomon, isn't it? Maybe you're the richest here. Or maybe you're the wisest here. But the odds are good you're not the richest and the wisest. And the odds are, well, I know everyone here. You're not the richest person in the world. Or the wisest person in the world. But what if you were? What would that be like? Imagine the people that are always trying to get to you and they're always trying to pick your brain about it. Or they're always wanting favors or always wanting money. How are you going to feel about that? I'd probably want to push them away. Probably want to tell them to shut up. Leave me alone. That wasn't Solomon's problem. He loved to have the people come. He loved to give his wisdom. Remember the mothers? Who came there fighting over the baby? He loved to give that because he was wise in that. And the people recognized it because God had put it in his mind. But what was his problem? We know that. Look at chapter 12, I believe it is. Actually, not chapter 12. How much? Maybe it's the end of chapter 9. I can't even find it, so I've got to pull up my slide because I can't remember the number. It's in 1 Kings. That's why I couldn't find it. 1 Kings chapter 11. I was like, man, why am I not finding it on my page? The reason why I ain't in the right book. And you'll just notice back up in verse 26, it goes through and talks about his riches and his wisdom and all of that stuff in verse 23. Verse 1 of chapter 11. Here's his problem. Now, King Solomon loved many foreign women, along with the daughter, and it lists these. And here's the problem. Which the Lord had said to the people of Israel, you shall not enter into marriage with them, neither shall they with you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. The problem was he loved women. And it wasn't that he just loved women. He loved the wrong kind of women. He loved the women who worshiped all the other gods but his God. And he gave in to them. I want you to notice how our text says it. And by the way, what did God warn about these women? You don't enter into the marriage because what will they surely do? They'll turn your heart away from me. It won't work. It will turn your heart away. And notice what happens in verse 4. For when Solomon was young, his wives turned away his heart. That's not what it says, is it? When Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart. How long did it take for Solomon to give his heart over to these other guys to the point where he's building altars for them, and anything that his wives ask for, he's given in. He was old. What does that tell you? I'll tell you what it tells me. It tells me he put up a fight for a long time. He knew what was happening. And he's sitting there and he's fighting it. And he is battling it. And he is holding on to his God. But isn't it interesting how the longer you do something and the older you get, how much you don't want to fight for it anymore? Is this even worth the fight? I just give in. I'll just let them do the thing. I know it's not going to be that big of a deal. I'll just give in to this. Well, he did, didn't he? And notice how God feels about that. Verse 9. The Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him once. No. He had appeared to him twice to change. And what's God think about that? What's the saying? Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you. Kind of the way we go and we tell somebody one time, we say okay, but they didn't hear it the first time. You give them another time, and they're just like, nope, forget it. I'm going to stick to this. That's Solomon. So this is what God did. God had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods, but he did not keep what the Lord commanded. Therefore the Lord said to Solomon, since this has been your practice, this is what you do, and you've not kept my covenant and my statutes I commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom from you and will give it to your servant. Doesn't that seem a bit harsh? But he didn't care what God said. And the reason why he doesn't care what God said anymore is because he let some other person turn his heart away from God. Doesn't matter if it's a woman. Doesn't matter if it's a man. People who don't care about the Lord will turn our hearts away from the Lord. Even if it doesn't manifest itself until we are old. And the question is, am I going to heed the warning? Right? He told him twice, don't go after these gods. And every time, all right, fine, you don't want to listen. BK, have it your way. And I don't think that was the way he really wanted it to go. For the, again, what was he known for? The wisest man in all the earth was too dumb, or we might say was too wise for his own good. He probably thought, it won't happen to me. Text doesn't tell us that. But I can tell you what, when I think I'm wise, and I know I'm wise, I start relying upon my own judgment and my own thinking. That won't happen to me. Don't let it happen to you. Because I know that it can happen to me. So we think about these impactful people, and they had everyone coming to them, and they all had different downfalls. But they had downfalls in one sense or another. And so maybe it was the pride. They thought too much of themselves. Maybe it was they helped the wrong people. They loved those who hated the Lord. Or maybe the struggle is someone of the opposite sex is pulling you away from service to the Lord your God. Don't be like them. Stick to it. They all had success. They all did what they were supposed to do for, and I would say, such a long time. But later in their life is when they fell away. Do not grow weary in well-doing. Just don't. And don't be deceived. these things will happen to you and me if we are not watchful for them. Does that make sense? Tonight, you want to become a Christian, and you're ready to have your sins washed away and be baptized in the blood of Jesus, now's the time to do it. Or if you'd like to ask the prayers of the congregation here, we'd ask that you come now as we stand and as we sing.